One of the favorite exercises we do when introducing the work of restorative circles to people is one that focuses on attention. Over the course of about a 10-minute meditation, we invite people to place their attention on different things. So first to what they hear, and then shifting to what they feel in different parts of their body. Now, we do this for a couple of reasons, but one of them is to demonstrate that we really do have the capacity to control where we place our attention. And we do that because for an awful lot of us, an awful lot of the time, our attention is in a million places all at once, especially if we find ourselves with some open time. Anyone who's ever tried centering prayer for the first time, I'm sure, has had that experience of their attention going a million places. So I found myself curious about Moses out in an open field tending sheep. Where did his mind go? Did it go to being haunted by some of what had happened for him back in Egypt? Or did he set all of that aside when he moved to Midian and got married? Was everything of his current life really all that he could see at the time? I know that for me, for many days, all that I can see, if I don't kind of catch myself, is what is right in front of me, right? The email box, the to-do list, trying to be faithful in my work, trying to be faithful at home, trying to stay up with what is happening in the world and to be responsive to all these needs. And I find it impossible on some days to really discern what of all of this is really and truly mine. What is my work here? And what's yours? What's God's? Is anybody with me on this? Yeah, this is where we all live. Well, I recognized in this very familiar story about Moses and the burning bush some helpful markers, I think, for us along the way. And the first thing does have to do with attention, in particular with God's attention. And it connects back to that word with the children that I shared a few moments ago. As Moses fled the scene from Egypt and left behind all of the suffering of his fellow Hebrews living under slavery, I have no way of knowing whether his attention ever went back to those people into that suffering. But I do know about God's. Because one of the things it tells us in the verse just prior to the passage we read for today is these words: God looked upon the Israelites, and God took notice of them. Now, I don't know what suffering might be present with us in the room right now, because I don't know exactly the suffering of each and every one of our hearts. And I don't know what parts of the world's suffering are at the top of our heart as we gather here today. But what I do know is that our text proclaims from start to finish that God's attention is on our suffering. In fact, human suffering is like this magnetic pull on divine attention. We hear in our passage today, chapter 3, verse 7, God saying these words to Moses: I have observed the misery of my people. I have heard their cry. And then repeats it again in verse 9. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I see how the Egyptians oppress them. I think one of the painful parts about suffering is if you feel like you are in it all alone. And what our text proclaims today is that you are not. You are not alone. God sees you. And that's the first part of God's work, this taking notice, this paying attention. And then, of course, the second work has to do with mobilizing for action, because God does not just see, God responds. Verse 8, God says, I have come down to deliver them. Now this is, of course, where God's work and our work begin to intersect. Because before God can mobilize us to be the hands and feet of divine response, God first has to grab our attention. And that is no small feat in the frantic pace that so many of us live today. And this story, I think, points to where it is that God often calls. And it's from the margins. This story about the burning bush has always been so interesting to me. And as I was reading it more closely this time, I recognized, you know, this bush was not central to Moses' attention. It tells us that he had to turn aside to see it. It was something he caught on the periphery of his vision. And the thing that's really critical here was the curiosity inside of Moses about it. Right? He had to drop what he was doing, to shift his attention over to it, and go and discover what in the world was going on. And it's in the course of that investigating that he finds himself on holy ground, right? Face to face with God. And that's where Moses learns that when God says, I came down to deliver, the I is an actual you, right? But before you feel too much of the weight of that, I want you to be sure to hear that word you the way that my southern relatives who are here today with us sometimes say it, which is y'all, right? It's plural. Moses is not alone in this. First of all, God promises to go with him, to give him the words to say, to give him the courage to move into it. But then there's this promise about a partner in the person of Aaron. Eventually, there will be this whole cadre of elders who will do this labor with Moses. He does not go alone. And I want to tell you about two different conversations that I had this week with people who are paying attention to the periphery and whose curiosity brought them to explore and found themselves on holy ground as the hands and feet of God. Now, the first was a phone call from someone who had come through our trainings for restorative circles that I mentioned a moment before. And if you don't know what that is, a restorative circle is just very simply a dialogue for people in conflict. It's a way to talk so that you can hear what's most important and find some ways forward. Now, Amy, who lives in Indiana, came to one of our very first trainings. And she's come back multiple times for trainings. And she has been spreading seeds for years down where she lives and does ministry. And all of a sudden, she found a whole bunch of it taking root all at the same time. So she called this week to get a little bit of support. She was feeling a little fearful about all of these things that she was being asked to do. All of a sudden, they're asking her, the district, a whole school district wants her to train all of their teachers in this work. There's a business organization asking for her expertise to consult with them. She's Methodist, and a Christian Reformed church, knowing what she's up to, is asking her to be part-time on their staff. And even as she was feeling a wave of fear with each new opportunity, she also felt deeply convinced that God was walking with her and equipping her for this work. And in a world where conflict and division is just burning communities to the ground, somehow this training years ago, a whole state over, grabbed her attention, and she's been living into it until this day, and is finding that God is giving her what she needs to be hands and feet where she lives. Now, the second was a conversation with someone in this community, someone that's part of a group that Pastor Gordon has been convening since the fall. And it's a group that really wants to pay attention, listen closely to the margins of our community, and really stand with people as they work for justice from those margins. And early on in our work, issues of immigration came to the foreground. And while this group has been looking to do advocacy work at the level of legislation, really trying to mobilize people to speak into the reforms that are needed, and this week's a big week for that, the group has also really wanted to respond to the practical needs of people, immigrant people in this community, living in the system that we have. And that really is the heart of this person whom I spoke with this week. He gave permission for me to tell his story, but didn't want me to be his name, so that's why I'm being evasive about that. And as he spent time with people in the community, what he learned was that people needed help getting to their appointments with the USCIS. The United States Citizenship and Immigration Services. Because the closest field office, I don't know if you're aware of this, is all the way over in Detroit. And this is where people have to show up for meetings and for hearings. And that is a burden for people living on this side of the state. Many people find it very hard to get there. Some almost find it impossible to get there. And so what he started doing was organizing rides. And he found that this word spread like wildfire. Over the course of the summer, he's been asked once, twice a week to get people to these appointments. And what he talked to me about was not just the gift to those folks. Clearly it is. That's why they're spreading the word. What he talked about is the gift it was to the members of his church who have been stepping up to give these rides and the way that it has been breaking open people's hearts. Is it disruptive? You bet. Let's look at all the volunteers who are flooding in. I guess that's not a good pun, is it? Streaming in to Houston to lend a hand in this disaster. What it's been like for the houses of worship and community groups that live there to open their doors. MJ Khan is the president of the Islamic Society of Greater Houston, and their six mosques have been open sheltering people. And he said to some of those volunteers at one point, you have got to get some sleep. Take a break from this. And almost to a person, they all said, we cannot sleep until these people have homes. It's very disruptive. When we learn to give our attention to the periphery, when we get curious enough to lean in and listen, God will enlist us as hands and feet, and it can be quite disrupting. Jesus had quite a fierce conversation with Peter about that very thing. But the thing about it is that when we are attentive, there is not just disruption, there is also great mutual blessing. And it is in that mutual blessing that the beauty of disruption is found. Now, I know that the needs of the world are great. And the last thing I want for all of us is to feel overwhelmed this morning by the depth of human suffering and the scope of the work. Actually, to the contrary, what I'm praying for us today is to feel inspired, to be inspired by the depth of God's compassion for us, to be inspired by the scope of the vast network of God's hands and feet. We are just but one small part. And every time that I find my little piece in my little place, what I want, and I'm sure what you want, is to be fearless, to step into those places without fear, even if we have to go trembling just a little bit. And so I want to offer for us a very different, at least for Hope Church, a different kind of prayer for blessing today. It's a contemporary song, and I hope it will infuse us with some energy as we look to God who goes with us, the one who goes before and behind us, because it is only when we keep our eyes on God that we will ever be able to step into the call that God places on our life. So let's share this together. You can just listen to Fearless.